afternoon, and welcome to Pizza Ranch in Maryville. It's the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Trenton. And Matt, another good show coming up in the next hour here at Pizza Ranch.
Yeah, that's right, John. I mean, we didn't have Northwest Missouri State football last week, unfortunately, due to some COVID-19 protocols for Lincoln, but the Bearcat football team still getting ready for a big matchup this weekend against rival UCM. It's in Warrensburg, of course. Not only are they excited for the rivalry, but that's a team still searching for a win, which we did not expect to see heading into Week 3. So that's a big matchup whenever you look at it from that way. Northwest Missouri State volleyball is also playing UCM. The women's team for volleyball, Bearcats ranked number 12, UCM Jennies ranked number 7. It's being a home opener at the Hughes Fieldhouse. That's going to be a crazy atmosphere. Looking forward to that coming up on Friday. Northwest Missouri State Soccer is also taking on UCM, who's also top 10 of the country there on the soccer side. That one's up in Warrensburg. And you remember, John, Bearcat Soccer won in Warrensburg last year, 5-4 in the spring. Of course, an exhibition season that didn't count, but you would think for Coach Mark Gordon's team, that's a confidence booster as you're building this program up, trying to reach the upper tiers of the MIAA. Of course, the Woody Greeno Invitational coming up for cross country this weekend, and golf's in progress right now, Drake Invitational for tennis. So there's a lot going on with Northwest Missouri State, and it should be another fantastic weekend.
Oh, no doubt about it. And so far, the fall season for all the sports, really off to a great start when you look at each individual sport.
Yeah, it really is. You know, going over that last weekend there, again, unfortunately no football, but, you know, the Bearcats still kind of had a scrimmage within themselves on Thursday and got the, you know, iron sharpens iron situation. Lincoln's not the best program in the country, you could say fairly, I think. And so Northwest going up against each other in practice, not necessarily a bad thing in there, although it'd be great to have some of those game reps or some of those younger guys. So, you know, Northwest, unfortunately no football. Volleyball went 3-1 of the week. They did suffer their first loss of the season to Michigan Tech, but it's a Michigan Tech team that is receiving a lot of votes in the AVCA coaches poll, and they're kind of on the cusp of getting into that, and they've been playing well. So, you know, Northwest lost in four sets to them on Friday night, bounced back immediately, and took down Purdue Northwest in the opening set on Saturday morning 3-0. So they bounced back right away. They've been fired up, and so they're rolling right through. You know, soccer lost both matches over the weekend. But for Northwest Missouri State Soccer, you think about it, they took on number 3, Grand Valley State. They lost 5-2 on a neutral site. But you look at it, the shots and the shots on goal, there wasn't a huge discrepancy. I mean, the Bearcats are getting more offensive opportunities under Mark Gordon than as we've seen year by year by year with this program. So getting better there. Minnesota State's a high-quality program. They came down. They got a goal in the 76th minute, and that was the only offense all day. As far as that goes, Northwest lost that one 1-0. But again, that's a high-quality program. You're right there with them. So you're seeing some strides being made there by Northwest Missouri State Soccer. And so it'll be fun to watch this team as they get into conference play this weekend.
As far as Bearcat football goes, they move up in the rankings despite not playing. They move up to number 3 in the AFCA Division II Top 25 poll. So I guess if you go that route, if you don't play the next 2 weeks, we move into the number 1 spot, right?
Yeah, just right on the cusp of it. Unfortunately, though, you know, AFCA doesn't play a whole lot of role in the regional rankings there, so it wouldn't help you out too much play. But Northwest Missouri State, you knew such a talented program. This defense is, was firing on all cylinders against Fort Hays State there on the opening week, and this running game is so good that it's, you know, hey, top 3? Yeah, I think this is where Northwest Missouri State belongs. It's one of those things that you can't sit back and kind of rest on your laurels. You have to come out and bring it every single week in the MIAA. So, you know, despite an 0-2 Mules team, you can't sit there and say, you know, we're a top 5 team in the country that we're going to be able to roll through this when you know that Coach Jim Sobota will have that Mules team ready.
You know, when you look at what Central Missouri's done so far, 0-2 on the season, a couple of the stats, again, very early in the year, but very uncharacteristic for a Central team, particularly offensively, although Coach Sobota has a new offensive coordinator this year. You know, he still has his hand in that offense pretty heavily, but normally an offense that, of course, Northwest fans know when he was offensive coordinator here, he can do an awful lot of things offensively, where they are just averaging 13 points a game after their first two games of the season. So they really have not got things really clicking, either rushing or passing. They've struggled in both of those aspects in the first two games. So you got to feel that they're going to go into this matchup trying to rectify those problems, and they're going to be ready to play on Saturday.
Yeah, and I don't know that you can necessarily look at UCM right now and sit there and say, boy, you know, they're a 3-win team in the MIAA, or they might only win 4 games. Everybody's coming off where, you know, you essentially had almost 2 years of not playing football or not playing, you know, true competition of taking the field on a Saturday and running up against a new opponent. So not only that, you're trying to shake that rust off. You mentioned offensive coordinator John McMenamin's now running his own program up at Wayne State. You've got a new quarterback after Brooke Bowles went on and he graduated and moved on, so that's new. You've got a younger offensive line, so they're a work in progress. They're not quite where I think folks expect them to be as a preseason number 13 in the country, but you still think about their UCM, you think about Coach Sobota, an offensive genius that he is. You expect them to find a way to turn that around, and maybe the defense doesn't quite come around to being, you know, upper echelon MIAA, but you still think they're a team that will find a way to get into some shootouts and pull off some wins as the season goes along.
2 weeks into the MIAA season, I don't think anybody predicted that UCM as well as Fort Hays State both would be 0-2 after the first 2 weeks.
Not at all. And part of that is, too, you have to tip your cap to the MIAA and what it is. I mean, with Pittsburgh State going in and beating UCM in Warrensburg for that very first week of the season, you obviously know the Grills are a good football program, and so they're going to be a difficult out regardless. And so they come in with a new head coach and played really well. And then Washburn's better under Coach Schurig, tough one there for Central Missouri also there in week two. You think about the other side, Fort Hays State. You run up against Northwest Missouri State, the Bearcats, ranked number 3 in the country, played really well, defensively got it done. Week 2, they ran into Missouri Western, who's, I think, under Coach Matt Williamson. They feel good about themselves this year. They think that they can challenge for an MIAA conference title, and they came out and showed it there in Week 2 against Fort Hays State that they are a force to be reckoned with, put up 38 points in that football game. So that'll be a tough out. Missouri Western, Northwest Missouri State, we'll see them here in a few weeks. That'll be in St. Joseph. But, you know, I think on the Fort Hays State side, you think, boy, they got two really good opponents right off the bat. And on the other side for UCM, maybe a couple surprise opponents that Pittsburgh State and Washburn might be climbing the MIAA ranks.
Yeah, and I think you look at Emporia State, too. They had a pretty good win this past weekend, too, to where they might be a little bit more into the mix than what people thought originally.
And, you know, it was a couple of years there where it was kind of Northwest and Emporia State, those two programs duking it out for who's the best team in this conference and who's going to lead the charge into the playoffs from the MIAA. And so, you know, Garen Higgins has a good program, and you know what, maybe they're not quite as flashy as they were a few years ago, but they're going to come out and play solid football.
Well, you know, we've got a lot coming up on the show. We'll be talking to some volleyball, some soccer as well, some tennis a little bit later on as well, as Mark Rosewell, the head tennis coach at Northwest, is with us. But when we come back, we've got a player from the Bearcat football team, very instrumental in the success of that offense, off that offensive line at left tackle. Tanner Owen will be joining us. It'll be good to hear from Tanner here in just a moment.
I mean, yeah, Tanner, All-American there at left tackle. The guy has not missed a game since he arrived on campus here at Northwest Missouri State. And also just a good dude. So that'll be a fun interview to have here on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
And he's coming up next. Again, we are broadcasting from Pizza Ranch in Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're back and talk with Tanner Owen right after this timeout from Pizza Ranch. And again, we are broadcasting from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. As we mentioned just a moment ago, Tanner Owen is with us, the left tackle. He's a 6'5", 292-pound senior from Kearney, Missouri, joining us. And as we mentioned, too, an All-American at that left tackle position. And Tanner, really good to have you with us here on the program here.
Yep, thanks for having me.
And let's just talk about, first of all, again, it's been a while since you guys have played a little bit of football. Had a year off, unfortunately, due to COVID. How good was that for you to be able to get out onto the field and play over in Hays, Kansas a couple weeks ago?
You know, it was refreshing to actually kind of get out there and hit somebody other than your team and, you know, kind of just revive that love for the game that we all have.
And I know before that game, a lot of the players were talking about the difference between actual game competition as far as going through practices. Again, you practiced throughout the last year without an opportunity to play football. How different was it to be in game shape and to go through an entire game like that?
Joe Q does a great job with getting us in conditioning and everything, but there's just, you know, there's something to be said about there's no conditioning like game day. And you know, you could definitely tell that a lot of guys, especially just up front too, we suffered from that just a little bit in that game, and it showed at the end of the game. But, you know, I was proud of the guys. We all pushed through it, and I think we wore down that D-line for sure.
I think one indication of that was when you guys took over about 6 minutes left or so in the game, and the game was, it was anybody's game at that particular point, and you needed a nice, long, sustained drive to get down, take some time off the clock and get a touchdown and kind of take control of the game. You guys were able to do that.
Yep, absolutely. We kind of just, you know, stuck to our own guns and figured out what was working, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And we ran the ball on them pretty well, and we continued to do that in that final little drive there, and kind of topped it off with that little pass to Caden, and everything worked out.
Boy, when you talk about if it ain't broke, don't fix it, how nice is it to have a couple running backs when Al McKellar and Devontae Green to kind of pretty good 1-2 punch back there, isn't it?
Absolutely. Al is definitely something special, and it's hard to tackle him, and Fort Hayes found that out, and Devontae, he's speedy quick, and so like you said, that nice little 1-2 punch there, we have both sides. If we need a power runner, we got a power runner, and if we need speed, we got speed.
You know, one thing too, as we talked about some of your accolades coming into the Northwest Missouri State program in 2019, an AFCA first team All-American, a D2 CCA first team, and D2football.com first team. But I think another stat that really stands out to me is just the fact that you've had 40 straight starts on the offensive line. And that's something just to be healthy enough to be able to play. I'm sure there's some games you were a little bit banged up, and it's just the nature of the sport. To be able to strap it up, though, and go out there for 40 straight games has to be quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, like you said, at times it's a little tougher than other games. But, you know, I already talked about it, but that love for the game, you know, you just got to push through it, and love for your teammates, and just being willing to fight through some of that pain. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough not to have any serious injuries, knocking on wood, but it's been special here.
And as far as being recognized nationally, what does that mean to you?
It's a great accomplishment. I'm not one for, you know, kind of individualizing myself. I mean, those kind of accomplishments, you know, go with off-season training and, you know, a great program, a great other four guys that are sitting next to me, and Braden right behind me, you know, making me look a little better than I show every now and then. He saved me a few sacks here and there. Shout out, Braden. Yeah.
But it's really, when you talk about playing on that offensive line, too, it's kind of a special relationship all the linemen have together, too. Quite a bond you guys are able to develop.
Yeah, it's a different kind of bond than any other position group, that's for sure. The O-line guys, it gets a little weird every now and then, but, you know, that's how we like it, and it's a good group of guys for sure.
What are some of the things you guys do to try to develop that bond as the year goes along?
You know, honestly, we don't even have to really force it, and that's why that bond is so good. Really, we just goof and jack around all the time. We come here to Pizza Ranch and, you know, make the cooks fire up the second burner and everything, you know. So
I imagine the profits that night go down a little.
Yeah,
bit.
A little bit. Yeah, their profit margin goes down when the O-line walks in.
You know, coming out of high school, you were ranked as the number 17 recruit in Missouri by ESPN back in 2015. You initially went to Mizzou before transferring to Northwest. And kind of talk about the process you went through, through the recruitment process at that particular time to go to Mizzou and then decide to come up to Northwest.
So I pretty much, in high school, I was pretty dead set on going to Mizzou. That was kind of my lifelong dream as a kid, and I ended up going there for 1 or 2 years, and some things didn't work out there, and I had a buddy from high school that played here, Jake Gassman, and I was talking to him about it when I kind of decided that I wanted to go somewhere else, and he's like, dude, you just got to try it here at Northwest. He's like, you wouldn't believe, like, how awesome it is here, and I tell you what, I made that decision, and 2 days later, I was on campus, and I haven't regretted it since.
You talk about having a teammate from high school here in Jake Gassman. He's just one of a long line of standout athletes, I think, from Kearney that go to end up going to Northwest. Not only football, but you look at all the sports at Northwest. It seems like it's filled with Kearney grads. What's special about Kearney High School that produces such good athletes? Not only good athletes, but they're also good in the classroom as well.
Yep. At Kearney, we started weight training, you know, pretty early on, and I think that was the biggest part. And we had some pretty special coaches. You know, for me, football, I had Greg Jones and Coach Gray, who's still there. He's now the head coach. And they definitely inspired us to work hard. And I think that we personally worked harder than any other high school team around at that time. And, you know, honestly, when I did get to college, it really wasn't that big of a transition, you know, practice-wise, because we had already practiced at such a high level. We were taught to work so hard and show up to 5 a.m. weights in high school, which is, you know, not that common. At least it wasn't common when I was in high school. That was many years ago. But, you know, so they kind of set us up for success, and we had a pretty special group of athletes there, too. So
now, this might date me just a little bit here, but when I first started doing Bearcat games, Greg Jones was a player on the Northwest teams. And at that time, he was known, maybe to put it politically correct, as kind of a character. Is he still that way as a head coach?
Absolutely. I can remember it being 110 degrees on a fall camp day. And, you know, high schoolers, we'd all be out there feeling sorry for ourselves, and he'd come out there yelling and screaming and sweatpants and a coat, sweatpants and a coat, just to prove that it wasn't that hot. And he always had excellent energy, and just trying to drive us to get better in the weight room or on the football field. And he was a pretty special dude.
Any other stories that about Greg that you can bring out here?
You know, that was 7 years ago for me, so I can't think anything off the top of my head, but you know, certainly there are some special stories with
him. You know, the statutes of limitations are probably up if it's been 7 years. So.
Yeah, he probably doesn't want some of the stories being put out there.
But, you know, besides just being kind of a character, he's also a very good football coach. He had a lot of success at Kearney and moved on since then and been successful, so he knows what he's doing football-wise.
Yes, he does. He would always, if practice wasn't right, you know, we would restart practice. And I've only had to do that one time here at Northwest. But so if it wasn't the way that he liked it or the way that he wanted it done, it was getting redone. And that was something to be said about him for doing that with a bunch of high school kids, you know, and being able to still get everybody to buy in with all that. Yeah, he's a pretty special guy.
You know, you like a number of players on your team, not only good in football, but always had another sport that you excelled in, whether it's a wrestling or, in your case, basketball. So a lot of good two- and three-sport athletes involved with the football program here. And, of course, basketball, I think, probably average about 10 points and 7 rebounds a game as a basketball player at Kearney.
Yeah, I was definitely a football player on the basketball court. I typically used up all 5 of my fouls pretty quick. But, yeah, I wasn't the most talented basketball player, but, you know, I was kind of a hustle player and a big guy, and I could stop all those taller big guys from scoring too much, and I definitely get those rebounds.
Now, we've had some pretty good basketball players come through Kearney as well, and some of the time frame kind of runs together, but who all did you play with on those teams?
The only person that I played with personally that went to Northwest was Dre Starzl. And, he was a 4 and I was a 5, and I don't remember how tall he is, 6'8" or something like that. But he was, definitely a specimen in high school, being 6'8" and being a 4 position and being able to shoot like he could, and also being able to post up a small little guy that was trying to be athletic, because he'd still drive right past a big guy if you put a big guy on him. So he was a force to be dealt with in high school for sure.
Oh, I bet so. And as you look outside of the football field, I understand in the past year or so you've done a lot of work for Millen Dinsdale Seed as well.
Yep, I was a crop scout for Aaron, and that was a pretty good experience. That's kind of the field that I want to go to whenever my football days are done. and I learned a lot there. And, you know, she's a great person and, you know, definitely kind of like a death by fire job. But personally, that's how I learned the most. So definitely a job that's going to be able to help me in the future.
And what's your major right now?
So I'm in my master's right now. I got my major in ag business with a minor in ag finance, and now I'm working on agricultural education.
And I guess the COVID year and everything kind of makes things a little bit different for a lot of you guys coming in as seniors.
Yeah. So this is my seventh year. I've redshirted once and twice, and then the COVID year. So it kind of stretched everything out. I didn't really plan on starting my master's, but I figured, you know, I might as well do something while I'm here. So.
Well, sounds good. And I know a lot of Bearcat fans are glad you're here for this senior season and helping anchor that offensive line. And just real quickly, might talk a bit about Central Missouri. Why are you looking out at Central Missouri's defense?
They've got two pretty good special athletes on there, and number 40 and number 0. And they're going to be quick. They're going to slant a lot, and definitely not going to be a stagnant defense. They're going to show some different fronts that typically most teams don't show. So that'll be something to that we're definitely going to have to keep our eye on and kind of stay on track and figure everything out as the play develops. Right now they're sitting in a position that they don't have too much to lose. So they're going to probably, I would assume, bring some stuff that they haven't shown on tape yet. Two games of film isn't really a whole lot for us because we like to break everything down and know exactly what's coming. So we're definitely going to have some stuff to watch and be careful of. But at the end of the day, I think personally with the offensive line, if we just do our jobs and play hard and physical, everything will work out in the end.
All right, sounds good. Tanner, thanks a lot for being with us.
Appreciate it.
That's Tanner Owen, an offensive lineman at left tackle for the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team. We've got a lot more coming up from Pizza Ranch on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information is available on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering a walk-in clinic weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 8 a.m. to noon each Saturday. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. More information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911. We're in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
We are back at Pizza Ranch with the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show talking Northwest Missouri State Soccer. The Cats 2-2 on the season. We are joined by head coach Mark Gordon as well as redshirt freshman defender Sydney Mueller. And appreciate guys coming on and joining us here in a weekend against a pair of really good opponents, Grand Valley State and then Minnesota State. A pair of losses, but good matchups. I feel like that has to be a great primer for what we're going to see as you guys dive into MIAA play now.
Yeah, so next three matches are MIAA opponents, but will be only regional games. So we do travel pods, and looking forward to the coming week. You know, coming off the weekend, we played a couple opponents that I know some of my colleagues in the conference thought I was crazy for doing what we did, but I thought we matched up and played pretty solid soccer and. We want that exposure. We want to find out where we're at and what we need to do. And against Grand Valley State, we scored a couple of goals, had some errant plays, and you know you play a team at that level, and there's a reason they go to national championship games quite a bit. They make you pay, and so I think it was good growth. We played good soccer, and just kind of take the pluses from it and work out the things that we need to work out. And then on Sunday, played a very, very good game, had a lot of possession of the ball, just couldn't score, and they had one opportunity on a set piece, and it was just well played. And you know, that's our game. You know, you can have the ball forever, but if you can't put the goal the ball in the back of the net, you know, you come up short. So leading into the weekend, this coming weekend with UCM, I think the Mankato game, the Minnesota State game, was very good. Going to be a similar style system and how they play. And so a good preparation leading into that match. And then West on Sunday.
You talk about the scheduling and maybe some coaches looking at you like, why would you do that? But it's different philosophies, right? It's like, well, do we schedule different games and matches and try to build confidence in this way? Or do we try to say, this is what we're building? We're wanting to be that bully that people don't want to schedule. It's kind of just a different balance, and I feel like we see that a lot at Northwest of we're going to throw ourselves in the fire.
Yeah, I mean, I think the players grow and learn from that, and I can talk till I'm blue in the face about, you know, this is what it takes, and they firsthand got to see it, and I just saw a lot of confidence, and, you know, the girls had their heads held high, and they knew they were competitive. We competed and provided a challenge for each of those teams.
Sydney, whenever you look at it, you look at the scheduling, and you see, you know, a couple top 10 teams in the country with Grand Valley and UCM, Minnesota State sandwiched in between. I mean, you're still a young player. You know what you're building here at Northwest Missouri State. How do you react going into matches like that and then coming out of them and just continuing to grow as a player?
Yeah, I got pretty excited when I saw those first couple games. I mean, coming in last season, we got a little bit of a season, but we're still pretty young, so we have a lot of learning to do. But it's always exciting to play good teams and learn from them, and especially moving on forward in the season to kind of see where we're at, where we need to improve, what we're doing good. So I enjoyed it.
And really kind of thrown in the fire, but in a little bit different way last spring. Whenever you look at it, you're kind of thinking COVID-19 wipes out our entire fall. Well, now we're kind of handed this free season, but it's in the spring and things are just, I mean, what did you take away from that chance to be able to go in and go to Warrensburg and get a W in the spring and play so many other matches to kind of get some college experience there?
Yeah, it was great to be able to get on the field, compete with my new teammates, kind of get some experience in there, learn what college soccer really is, because there's quite a few of us that have never played a college soccer game, and that was a big wake-up call, I think, definitely the first couple weeks, but it was good to get out there last season and prepare us for this year.
Is that one of those two where it's just the speed is just so much different than playing in high school?
Yes, speed of play and physicality, I think, are two big things that coming into college are very different from both club and high school soccer growing up. So,
hey, Coach Gordon, I mean, the speed and the physicality, is that something that you can really mimic in practice, or is that you have to feel it as you're kind of going through a season?
You know, I think you can duplicate or get really close with the speed of it. You know, the physicality, there's parts that you want, but I just don't think there's anything like playing against an opponent to really open up that part of it. But the speed, I think you can get close just by space and touch limitations, that kind of thing. So, but that's about as close as we can get.
Going back over the weekend, number 3 Grand Valley, that one a neutral site there in Warrensburg, a 5-2 loss. You look at it, though, and one of the things that we kind of talked about as you kind of took over this program a couple years ago was develop that offense. Give yourself a few more opportunities. I think the shots on goal in that match was 11-8. You're getting those opportunities, or you're giving yourself a few more chances there to where, you know, if you do go back 5, 6, 7 years in a match like this, it might be 12-2 shots on goal. You're having more opportunities, and you know at some point they are going to find the back of the net.
I'll tell you, I think a couple of players having the being in that position against, you know, the opponent, and, you know, I just told them these girls do the same things you do every day. They go to class, you know, go and train, and they just went in very open-minded and just, hey, this is the next match, we're gonna go compete. the attack side of things is an area we continue to strive to be very productive, and I think it kind of rang true in the match and the opportunities that we created that put them in some positions, you know, where it's that last decision now. Rather than shooting at the near bar, I should have played it at the far bar. And I had that conversation with a couple of players. I wished I wouldn't. I said, you know, last spring, last year, when we played, we couldn't get to that position to then address that final piece. So it's been a big switch for us.
Sidney, as you go through and you're seeing these conversations and growing and getting older and kind of getting more experience in these, is it easy to keep your head up in some of these tough situations? Or is it kind of just we're picking each other up to where those heads aren't dropping? We're continuing to move forward as a team.
Yeah, I know. It's frustrating to not get the results that we want, obviously, but we're still playing good teams, competing against good teams, and we know we can do better, and we know we are getting better. So I think that part of things kind of helps us keep our heads up and push forward through the rest of the season.
Minnesota State, just a 1-0 loss there on Sunday. Defensively, feel good coming off that? I mean, that's a good Minnesota State squad that you saw last spring up there, having them come down here. You get that one goal in the 76th minute, but outside of that, I mean, do you feel good about how that match went?
Yeah, I think we did pretty well. There's obviously some things that, you know, no game's perfect. There's always some things we need to improve on, but I think that was one of the first games this season that we played more collectively as a team defensively, and we stayed more connected. We played well with each other, and I think going forward that'll help us.
You know, last spring, Coach, we talked, and it came away from that. They put up three and beat you guys up there, but it was still like, man, there's so many good things. We're putting it together. Having them come down here again, getting those opportunities and finishing it off, but, I mean, you're right there against another quality opponent.
Yeah, I told the girls at the end of the game, I was frustrated for the players, you know, and I just said we're on the opposite side of a wall, and we're trying to figure out how to chisel through and break down that wall to get us through, and I keep calling it the it. We're going to find our it, and I don't know what that it is yet. But the girls are going to find it. I believe that, you know, we just have to continue to grind through and keep approaching. I think our approach is right. Their mindset is very good. Their support of each other has been very good. And I think we're projecting the correct way.
Turning around this weekend, you're going to face Central Missouri, heading up to Warrensburg on Friday. What does last spring do for you? You beat them 5-4 up there. There's some confidence to take away from that, but it's obviously different. It's in the fall now. How do you approach that match?
I you know, we kind of a benefit going down and playing Grand Valley down there. You know, I've seen the surface. It's a really great surface, really heavy on the legs, though, this heavy Bermuda and natural surface. So we have a match on it. You know, the crowd's going to be there, and I just think, you know, we're just going to approach it as we've done the last two matches. They're right there with those two. They represent the conference pretty typically in our regional tournament, and we're just going in with the mindset that we're going to be able to instill our play and go get some goals and get it done.
Sidney, is it even easy to stay even keel against a top 10 opponent on the road, hostile territory?
I think so. I mean, we played UCM twice last season in the spring, and I think we kind of have something to prove to them. We didn't play as well in the second matchup against them, so I think that makes us kind of hungry to go out there and get a win against them this weekend.
Missouri Western, new coach last year. Saw them in the spring. Again, it's a little bit different. What are your expectations when you see the Griffins on Sunday?
You know, year to recruit for Coach and bring in some more of his players. I think the... You know, they're well coached, they're organized, they've kind of had some okay results and then some surprising. I think he's putting his stamp on the program, but I think, you know, the rivalry between the two universities always creates a very good environment, and it's going to make it a competitive game.
We're talking Northwest Missouri State Soccer with head coach Mark Gordon, as well as freshman Sidney Mueller. And Sidney, a native of Gretna, Nebraska, coming into Northwest Missouri State, you're all conference, all state in high school. What made the Bearcats and coming to Northwest the right choice for you?
I think just the culture here. it reminds me a lot of home. There's nothing really like it. I looked at other schools, and this place just felt like home. You know, everyone loves Bearcat soccer. Everyone loves Bearcat sports, and it just felt like the right place.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at rogersrx.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni, and 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to Pizza Ranch, as we are broadcasting live on the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. Time now to turn our attention to tennis, as we're joined by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Roswell. And Mark, good to have you with us on the show here today.
Yeah, John, good to be here. Good, real nice meal here. Very nice.
And let's just talk about your program right now. That is a fall season, a little bit different than the spring season. Before we even talk about that, let's go back to this past spring, to the 2021 ITA Central Region Coach of the Year in Mark Roswell. Seventh time you've received that honor, five times on the men's side and two on the women's side. And that's quite an honor to be able to not only to get that honor once, but to have won that seven times.
Well, as we always say, John, the players make the Coach of the Year awards. And we've had some very, very fine players at North for many, many years, going back to even the 70s with Coach Bird when we hosted a national tournament right here in 1976 here in Maryville, Missouri.
And I go back far enough, I was at that tournament and had a chance to watch some pretty good tennis that year.
Yes, they had an outstanding team. I believe they finished third in that tournament that year, yes.
Now, as far as your past year, final rankings from last year on the men's side, 18th nationally, first in the Central Region. The women were 30th nationally and fourth in the Central Region. And for the men, made it to the quarterfinals of the Division II National Tournament. So we're really wrapped up a very good year for you on the men's side.
Yeah, John, I think it's been best year for a while, maybe the last 4 or 5 years or so. But, you know, it really, we just kind of kept getting better as we went through the year. We had a few early season losses and so forth. Of course, we always play very, very fine competition. But that usually pays off for us when we get to the conference tournament and the, you know, the postseason and so forth. And that's kind of what happened there.
Now, if you could just quit running into Barry when you get to into the
seems like we play them every time we're at the national tournament.
Yeah. They're a heck of a program down there.
They are. And, you know, Dr. George Samuel has been their coach all the year. Actually, we're the same age and been coaching against each other for many, many years. And they did end up winning the national championship after they beat us in the quarterfinals. But he actually retired this year. So, but it was kind of neat playing them and stuff.
Barry out of Florida, so they do have a bit of an advantage from a weather situation and a scholarship situation down there.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, as you go into this year, the fall season, of course, more of an individual type of season where you go to some different tournaments and give them some individual play for both the men and women. And just kind of talk about your philosophy on what you tried to accomplish in the fall with your teams.
Yeah, we're just trying to really, with new players coming in, we're trying to figure out doubles teams. We're trying to figure out what our singles lineup is. So we got them all playing challenge matches, round robin throughout the fall and so forth. So really just kind of seeing what we have. So and in the spring now we're ready to get started because we're usually playing matches by the end of February indoors somewhere doing that. So You know, we've already now, we went down to Leavenworth and played in a tournament. The men did, and then the men and women played this past weekend.
Yeah, down at Springfield and Drury, I understand that they really had a pretty good tournament for both teams.
Yeah, no complaints. Had a lot of fun. Of course, Coach Jared Smith, he's out of Northwest Missouri State, has had an outstanding program down there for years, and very, very proud of him. But we played with them and then our teams, and then we also Washington University, which is a Division III school out of St. Louis. But they're, you know, their men are contending for a national championship every year. They actually beat Emory, who was the national championships out of Atlanta, a great, great tennis school there. So competition level is very high.
And you mentioned the Leavenworth tournament. That's traditionally over the Memorial Day weekend, and that's also open for not only college players, but apparently a college coach was able to get into the first round and come up with a win in the in your category.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, John. Coach Jim Mathis. In fact, that's going to be next year's going to be the 50th year that he's run that tournament. Former coach, high school coach there, and he retired now, but still it's a, kind of a fundraiser for his high school program and does just a great job. We love that tournament. They just treat us like gold there, and that's one of the reasons we, you know, it's good over Labor Day, and it's more family type thing, and we really enjoy it.
Well, it's really good to draw for just a lot of tennis players that still keep on rolling through the years to go over and play in the tournament.
For sure, and some of our alumni, David May was back there. I saw Dr. Tristan Crook was there. So some of our former players come back and play in that, too, and that's neat, too.
Now, I know talking with you at one point about this year's men's team, you were very high on what this men's team has to offer. Of course, the team competition gets started in February or March, coming around for next spring. But from what you've seen, do you feel this is one of the best you've ever had on the men's side?
John, you know, on paper, it could be the best that we've ever had. Now, a lot of things got to happen. Kids got to stay eligible, and you know, we've got to get better. Not have any injuries is always a big one. But, you know, the way it looks right now, I'm really, really excited. You know, we've got three All-Americans returning on the team. I mean, that tells you something. I mean, that's six players playing, and three of them are All-Americans. You know we got a pretty good team.
And on the women's side, last year you were a very young team, but your young players had a lot of success in the spring that you can build off of coming into this year.
Yeah, and I have to say Vera was an All-American too, and we did finish at the end of the season. We were 30th in the country, top 30. So, you know, that's a start, and that's something to build on. Now we got another year of experience, get a couple more recruits in, and, you know, we're moving up.
And as you mentioned, this weekend you're back on the road. You go to Des Moines, a tournament up there hosted by Drake University.
Yeah, primarily a Division I tournament, pretty much. The eight schools there, Creighton and Nebraska, Omaha, and Drake, and some of these people that come in, Western Eastern Illinois, I don't know. But they come from all over the place, North Dakota. But for us, it's a good tournament because, you know, the level is just high, and for them to even let us come into the tournament and play, we feel very fortunate because it's just great competition. The facilities, I mean, you know, you got six or eight outdoor courts and you got six indoor courts, so we're going to play, you know, whether it rains or not this weekend, it's going to be on. And like I said, the competition level is just really, really good.
And then after that, a couple weeks, and then you go to Edmond, Oklahoma for the ITA regionals.
Yeah, and that's usually how we always finish it up, John, in the fall. But the problem we've had, I say problems, it's no problem, it's a good thing. But, you know, we've won that, so then we qualified for the national tournament, which was in Rome. It is in Rome, Georgia, a couple weeks later, usually about the middle of October. So, you know, that's our goal, of course.
Yeah, and you've had a lot of success in that tournament. And at one point, you were able to host that several years ago, but the way things have changed facility-wise, Northwest has great mm-hmm. facilities now, too, but Edmond, Oklahoma, kind of a center for the region, and the facilities they have both outdoor and indoor down there or something else.
Yeah, and that's not on their campus, by the way. They've built a new tennis center in Edmond itself through the community. And they've got, I don't know what it is, 25 outdoor courts, so it's perfect. And they've got 6 indoors. So that's where you're going to be seeing our regional tournament from now on, because the facilities are just outstanding. And, you know, campuses just don't have that many courts and so forth. And with as many teams that are playing now and so forth, that's really what you need. I mean, that they could host a national tournament there and might in the future.
Now, as you mentioned, Drake University is this weekend. I would imagine, being a Central Missouri grad yourself here, that the fact that you're going to miss out on the Northwest Central football game of this weekend is going to be kind of the downside of taking your tennis team up to Drake.
Coach Richard Wright was just suggested that I still might show up at Warrensburg. I don't know where he was going with that, but no, I... That'll be a good game. I think we're going to put a whipping on them.
All right. By we, you're meaning Northwest.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us here on the Coach's Show.
Always a pleasure, John.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Men's and Women's Tennis Team, Mark Rosewell. Stay tuned. We've got much more coming up on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coach's Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry in Maryville. Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, contacts, and sunglasses. Dr. Losh is also available after hours for emergencies. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from King City Lumber. Their post frame and all steel buildings can be used as homes, barns, sheds, garages, or commercial buildings. More information about planning, design, and construction is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911. We're in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
Back at Pizza Ranch in Maryville for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State Volleyball. We are joined by Bearcat head coach Amy Wirth, as well as Peyton Kirchhoff, our redshirt freshman from Omaha, Nebraska, joining us here today. And appreciate you guys coming on the show. Won 3 of 4 over the weekend, 7-1 after a tough non-conference schedule. Coach, as you kind of look at it, getting ready for MIAA play, kind of where you want to be, kind of working out some kinks along the way?
I think we were tested last weekend a little bit more than the first weekend from the standpoint of just having your second weekend not feeling the greatest. You got a whole 4 matches underneath your belt. You're a little worn, you know, just from a season of travel and all the things that go with being on the road and kind of walking in probably in another gym and not being comfortable, but had some adversity on our shoulders, and I thought we handled it pretty well. Against Grand Valley State, it wasn't a pretty win, but it was a win nonetheless. And turned around, and we had our moments at Michigan Tech and didn't get that one pulled out like we should have in the second set. We had three set points on them in the third, in the second set, and didn't get it done. So that would have changed the face of that match. But all in all, I think the next day we really came back and bounced back well to get 2 more wins on that second day. So all in all, I think, you know, we've had some adversity. We're tested and ready to get into the MIAA.
And, Peyton, when you look at it, after coming off a tough one against Michigan Tech, 4 sets, you end the night like that, I mean, that can carry over. That can be a hangover for some teams. You immediately come out and right away, Purdue Northwest, 3 sets and out. I mean, that had to be big of, let's turn the tide immediately.
Yeah, it was really good. As a team, we always talk about bouncing back quickly. And we had a talk after the Michigan Tech game of just what we needed to do the next day. That game was over. We need to focus on being our best in the games to come.
Whatever you think about the opening match of the weekend, Coach, and Grand Valley State, and it goes 5 sets, it's kind of the way the season's going to go, right, when you think about every team's going to give you their best shot. It doesn't matter if it's top of the MIAA, the bottom, any non-conference. I mean, you're kind of the target on your back when you're top 10 in the country.
Right, yeah, for sure. I think that's a lesson that our girls also need to learn, that we're going to get the best of every single team we play, and even though we're 12th, we're still going to get the best in every single team we played, because everyone wants to knock off a ranked team. I mean, we've been in that position that we want to go knock off a ranked team when we played Tampa, number 5 in the country. So putting ourselves in other people's shoes, I think, is important to understand that piece, and also understand not putting pressure on ourselves, but, you know, focusing on our process and what we need to do is – you know, that target is a little bit of adversity, can be pressure, but turning that back into the process of what we've done throughout my whole career is focus on the process and let the results take care of themselves. But understanding, you know, we got to tighten up our game, and we don't get, you know, nights off at all.
And you finished things up. You went 7-8 in the non-conference after taking down Purdue Northwest in the Upper Iowa in the final match of the weekend. Actually, now you kind of turn your attention a little bit. You have some MIAA competition. You have Central Missouri coming in. Now they're up to number 7 in the country, and it's kind of a fun matchup of that rivalry that's kind of been built by the Bearcats and the Jennies these last few years.
Yeah, we've been able to, you know, put our stamp on this matchup against the Jennies and be able to come out ahead on, you know, when we've played them lately. So it'll be a great matchup being in the New Hughes area.
You handled them twice in the spring. Kind of go back over the years against UCM. They've obviously been a very good program. Is the spring help toward turning the tide in this series between these teams, or is that something that you're saying, throw it out, it's new, let's just kind of go in and be the Bearcats now?
I think it's a helpful – anytime you win, I think it's going to put confidence in your brain. Their team is basically all back, and we had a majority of our team back. So I think the matchup's going to be there for a really fun match, just with the matchups that occur between the two teams. We play a very similar style of volleyball. And like I said, they've got quite a few of older players, and so do we. So I think it'll be a really fun match to watch.
What was that like, Peyton, when you look at those matchups against UCM last year? Of course, you're so young coming into it, too, but to be able to see them and beat them a couple times and kind of get a feel for what that's like, I mean, do you look back a little bit deeper into history of how good they've been, or is it kind of, hey, I'm a little bit newer to this, we knocked them off last year, we're going to do it again?
I think we definitely are coming into it with confidence, but also knowing that in the past we've lost to UCM and they are a really good team and have a lot of great competitors on their team. We need to come into it with the mindset of last year we did beat them, but they could be a different team this year.
Yeah, the difference is this year, too, is a new home floor for Northwest Missouri State. Being able to play in Maryville, but at the Hughes Fieldhouse, I mean, that'll be different. What are your expectations of going into that venue?
I think our whole team is just really excited to have a place to play, actually, and we're very excited to get to practice there soon, too.
Coach, what are your thoughts on being able to go in to Hughes and play this match?
I'm just excited to get in there as soon as possible. You know, I want it to be a home court advantage for us. You know, being in a larger facility, you know, in Hughes Fieldhouse, being in a field house and playing is going to have its challenges. So the more that we can get practices under our belt, I think the more that we're going to be ready to take on UCM.
Can this be a silver lining? You don't want to see Bearcat Arena go through what it went through over the summer and getting kicked out of the offices and everything, but this is, could be a pretty cool venue for Northwest Missouri State volleyball, and it's going to be your court in Hughes Fieldhouse. That's pretty cool.
It's very awesome, you know, from the standpoint of knowing it's a volleyball court, knowing we don't have to take the net up and down every single day, knowing that any time that we want to go out there and play, we can, and knowing that we don't have to schedule around anyone at any point of the day, I think is going to be very gratifying, just the feeling of knowing that something belongs to us and it's only ours. And so it's just kind of a cool feeling to be able to have a sport court also. You know, all of our players have grown up in club playing on sport court, so it's a very normal atmosphere for them. So I think it's pretty neat to be able to take that into the college game. And also UCM has sport court at their home there at UCM. So I think it's going to be helpful for us when we go down there as well, just from the standpoint of getting used to playing on more sport court since, again, they've done it since they were young. So I think it's just going to be a fun atmosphere and one that, you know, it doesn't happen very often. This won't, you know, probably happen all the time. So I think it's going to be very special.
Rewind back a couple months. What's going through your mind as everything's kind of happening with Bearcat, and you're like, maybe it'll be fixed by December or January. Now, it's going to be a little bit sooner, but after the volleyball season, Did you think you're going on the road for every match this year?
No, I knew we wouldn't do that. We would find a way to play somewhere in
Martindale,
or the high school or something. You know, not that you want to do that, but it's at least a home game. And, you know, leaning on our administrators to be able to figure out all the logistics behind this, I think, has been a huge trusting factor from my standpoint. And, you know, we've gotten the floor in there and building the bleachers. We're going to have bleachers around it. I think it's going to create a really neat atmosphere. So I'm just glad that we're able to be at home, even though we're at a different venue.
Northwest Missouri State this weekend taking on Central Missouri on Friday, then on the road against Missouri Western and St. Joseph coming up on Saturday. We're being joined by Peyton Kirchhoffer, a redshirt freshman for Northwest, and head coach Amy Wirth. And Peyton, coming in, you're a native of Omaha, Nebraska. What brought you to Northwest Missouri State and into the Bearcat program?
I started my recruitment process for here pretty early. Both of my parents went to Northwest, so they were really like, you need to look at this school. It's such a great place to be. Then I got talking to the coaches early, and I just fell in love with the school altogether.
Now, so far this season, averaging over 4 kills per set, you're second in the MIAA in total kills this season. Is there an art form to it? I mean, it's more than just being able to go up and hit it as hard as you can, right?
Yes, I think it's just the whole team comes together to where our defense is giving our setters great passes, and they're giving me great sets. I think it's really a team effort.
We're still very early. You're still very young in your career, so I don't want to put any crazy expectations on. But, Coach, there are some Maddie Bruder-type numbers. Are there any similarities when you look at these two athletes?
They're different people. I mean, Maddie Bruder, you know, like she, you know, played a different style than Peyton did, and that's not a bad style or a good style. Like, they're both just very different people. From the standpoint of, you know, what Peyton brings is she's a nice athlete that jumps, you know, really high from the standpoint of the touch point, so it helps her be able to have a lot of different shots up in the air, and I think she's done a great job to continue to create more shots for her. When it comes to being young, you know, a lot of the time you hit a power shot and that's about it. But Peyton's continuing to be very, very coachable and understand she needs to have more than just one shot, and she's really developed that. So the thing that I would say is very, very similar of Maddie Bruder, they're both very, very coachable. They're both very, very competitive. But other than that, like, I'll let Maddie Bruder be Maddie. I'll let Peyton Kirchhoffer be Peyton, and let that stand where they need to be. But I still feel like there's a lot of positives to come from Peyton as we go through her career.
And finding similar results early, which is not a bad thing at all.
Nope.
Peyton, real quick, too. Last spring, what you go through, 17 matches. Finding that chemistry, is that huge for a young player with some of your upperclassmen?
It was a really big thing for us. I think just having all of those role models there, especially Maddie, I watched her so many years, and she even came over and talked to me after some of our first games, and just having so many leaders like Hallie Sidney there to help me through it all was really good.
Northwest Missouri State taking Central Missouri and Missouri Western on this upcoming weekend. Which one's the bigger rival now, Coach?
Good question.
Both.
I think we have a lot of rivals these days, but just from the standpoint of Missouri Western, you know, they're always going to be the biggest. But we're going to look forward to having both of these as we looking at them as rivals this weekend.
Should be fun. Good luck this weekend. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Amy Wirth, Northwest Missouri State head volleyball coach, and Peyton Kirchhoffer, a redshirt freshman for the Bearcat volleyball team, joining us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. Northwest ranked 12th in the country, 7-1 on the season, taking on UCM at home Friday at 6 o'clock in the Hughes Fieldhouse, then in St. Joseph at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. We'll take a break. Back with more on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.